Hi, folks. This is CBD of the Cut Jib Newsletter Worldwide Podcasting Network. I am here in cloudy New Jersey with my partner and good friend. Well, he's not New Jersey. He's in Wisconsin, JJ Sefton. We had a lovely, lovely taste of winter for a couple of weeks, and then all the snow melted, and it's in the 40s now, and life sucks here. So, how is it in Wisconsin?
Well, today is a bit blustery and flurries are flying as we speak, and definitely windy and it's chilly. So, I mean, we had a little bit of a melt. We had a little bit of winter, then it melted a little bit, and now we're back to winter again. So there you go.
Well, I'm
But
jealous.
all right, well, come on by.
Yeah, I noticed that it snowed in, I think, southern Morocco for the first time in 25 years because of global warming, obviously.
Obviously, yeah,
And that
snow,
was,
yeah.
yeah,
Ridiculous.
unbelievable. I also noticed an interesting article. You might have mentioned it in the in your morning report this morning about projections for electric power usage. An increase of
Yes.
25% by 2030. And that's going to be interesting because we're still closing power plants because of the insanity that coal is dirty and oil is dirty and natural gas is dirty and blah 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 blah.
It is
So
all driven by this the push of big tech to go full tilt boogie on AI, and evidently this AI requires I mean the most incredible amounts of power
yeah.
that it's just ridiculous. And I think the
I've got this
president
crazy
spoke about this as
idea.
well,
I know, you know, shut me down because it's really dumb.
but go ahead.
I've heard that you can build something called a nuclear power plant, which generates electricity from the fission of certain radioactive compounds, in particular
So,
uranium, and that you can generate a huge amount of electricity on a very, very small footprint, and it is obviously carbon neutral. But I guess that's a crazy idea. Never mind. You know something? Forget about it. That was just that was too stupid for even me.
yes, don't suggest these cockamamie crackpot schemes,
Yeah.
please. The next thing you'll tell me is, I don't know, sell me a bridge over the East River, but please.
So we've got some interesting things going on in the world. Apparently, we are still living in interesting times. Obviously, the big story, well, for us, the big story, not w for the mainstream media, is the revolution in Iran. The mullahs are not giving up. They are murdering people on the streets. My guess is that most of the murder is being perpetrated by their imported Arab thugs from Lebanon and probably Gaza and Iraq and who the hell else, you know, wherever they're coming from. But the people of Persia are fighting back. There's more violence from them, which is a good thing. And they're not giving in. They're still demonstrating. They're still burning mosques, which is interesting.
Yeah,
They
that was an angle that I reported on yesterday or the day my editorial the day before, is that burning mosques is like, I mean, it's one, I get it, it's a repressive regime, but you would think that in a country that is, if not majority Muslim, then certainly is very much overwhelmingly Muslim. I mean, it's very, it's sort of scratched the surface. Is that disaffection with just these particular mullahs, or is it dissatisfaction with Islam in general? So maybe that's a stretch. I don't know,
No,
but hey.
that's I think it's a very good point. I think that the people of Persia have had a taste of freedom. And up until 1979, they enjoyed it. They didn't have to be Muslim. They didn't have to live under the strictures of a repressive pseudo religion. And they still remember it. And that's a very, very good thing. And burning
Absolutely.
mosques is a very powerful signal to the mullahs. Unfortunately, it's not a powerful signal to the rest of the world. The rest of the world apparently doesn't care.
Yes,
So
the rest of the world thinks that the Muslims, the Persian Muslims, are being Islamophobic.
yeah.
That's how they're reporting it. Or else it's agents of the Mossad are there that are really doing the torching, of course. Yeah, it's the Jews' fault.
It's
But
amazing. You know, we are 15 million or 16 million people in the entire world, and we live rent-free in a billion people's heads. It's marvelous. I just wish we
yeah.
had that kind of power.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If only, right? Can you imagine? But
Yeah.
alas, we don't. Even if we did, we wouldn't do anything with it because that's, because we actually do. Judaism actually is a religion of peace, but go tell that to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
But Donald Trump, back to the president, has stated in no uncertain terms now that he does stand behind the Iranian people. He is cheering them on, and he is even, whether good for good, or bad, or indifferent. He's even saying that if the mullahs don't stop murdering the people, that America, that they're going to, the big stick is going to come down hard. I don't know about that. We shall see. I don't know what else can be done, or if
Well,
anything
we
should
can
be done.
militarily, there's a lot that can be done. We can go after the army if they're entering the cities to murder the protesters. We can start hitting the IRGC buildings harder than we did in what was that, June?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that we can do.
Go
Of
after their
course, I
command
think you and
control,
I,
go after their barracks.
yeah, but you and I agree that that should never, ever, ever include boots on the ground. You know,
No.
conducting an air war against the IRGC is one thing, but sending in American troops is beyond the pale for me. That's a non-starter. I don't think a single American serviceman should die in service of Iranian or Persian freedom. That's their job. We should help, but you know, we need to draw a line.
Absolutely.
So one of the things that frustrates me about Donald Trump is that he really does talk a good game, but I think that he is more bluster now than he should be. He did the same thing with Hamas, you know, saying, "Oh, if you don't return all the hostages by Saturday, hell is coming to Gaza," and nothing happened. And I think that that is what's going on now. Now, in his defense, there is significant pressure from outside of the United States to soft pedal this. And that pressure is coming not only from the usual suspects, but apparently it's coming from Israel. Israel doesn't think that a significant American presence in these protests is a good idea yet. I know that J.D. Vance was not agitating, but suggesting a diplomatic response rather than a military response. How that would work, I have no idea. How do you negotiate a revolution? Well, okay, the mullahs can kill 10,000, but if you hit 20,000, we're coming in. I mean, that's insanity. So,
I
as
seem
I
to
say.
recall some, I don't know if it was Biden or Obama or somebody, something was going on however many years ago it was, and that was almost that was literally almost a translation of the jive that they were talking. That yeah, you can kill 10,000, but maybe that was the initial, and I forgot where that was, who was invading who at the time. Yeah, you can kill 10,000, but if you go step over this line, then we're really going to get angry.
Well, the dipshit in charge, whoever was running the Biden administration, said that to
Yes,
Russia.
that was Russia. That was Ukraine. Thank you. Right,
Yeah.
exactly.
Yeah, you can go into it, but to make it small.
Exactly. Just a small, a minor invasion. But
Yeah. Unbelievable.
there you have it.
Anyway, I think that Donald Trump needs to be very careful in his, oh God, you know something, he's never going to be careful. He says
No.
what he wants to say, and but it frustrates me when he when that the bluster overcomes reality. Hopefully that's not
Yeah.
the case with Iran, but who knows? We shall see.
True. I mean, the fact that we did send the Air Force to help take out a very good chunk, if not all, of their nuclear weapons sites and capabilities, that certainly is food for thought. And the iron fist inside the glove. And
Yeah.
he didn't, he wasn't kidding at that time. And certainly we saw that. The world saw it. So we'll see. And God bless the Persian people. I hope they've earned their freedom, and here's hoping that the next government, whatever it might be, is certainly not a mollocracy, And hopefully it doesn't devolve into a Saddam Hussein or Muammar Gaddafi kleptocracy and other, crap like that. That would be terrible too, but tyranny. But we'll see.
I think the only important measure is whether the hopefully new government of Iran, let's call it Persia, is going to continue the support for rampant Islamic terrorism in the world.
Yes.
I think that is the measure. If they simply stop doing that and they start paying attention to the Persian people, then I think that we can consider it a success.
Pre-1979 Iran, the days of the Shah. The Shah was no angel himself, lest we forget. But then again, Iran had good relations, if not an alliance, not really an alliance, but had good relations, had very good relations with us, obviously. They were an ally of the US, and they were also had good relations with the State of Israel. So that would certainly, and Iran foments now, the mullahs foment the majority of Islamic terrorism around the globe. And so if they go, then a lot of problems suddenly will vanish very quickly.
Interesting. Anyway, so let's move closer to home. Donald Trump has been bitterly critical of the chairman of the Fed, Mr. Powell, and he's been critical of him for two very, very different reasons. The first one is that Powell hasn't cut interest rates. Well, the supposed independence of the Federal Reserve suggests that what Donald Trump says doesn't matter. Now we can. I would like to talk about the supposed independence of the Fed, but the other side of the criticism is that the Fed is renovating their office building to the tune of $2.5 billion, I think it was,
Is that with a B or an M?
with a B,
Oh, nice.
and it is unbelievable. The joke about the Soviet commissar with his Dacha. How do you pronounce that, by the way? Is it
Dot,
Dacha?
dot, dacha.
Dacha?
Right, like gotcha.
Okay, Dacha, and the limousines and so on and so forth. And he's crowing to his mother about how wonderful life is under communism. And she looks at him and says, "Yes, but what are you going to do when Stalin comes back?" So, anyway,
Exactly.
yeah, Powell. And the Fed have pissed away billions of dollars on the renovation of their building. Why they even need it renovated is ridiculous. They have, what need do they have for a renovated building? Why don't they just rent a couple of floors in an office building in downtown Washington,
Exactly. It's
and
ridiculous.
sell that building? I see. Anyway, so anyway. Trump is beating him up, and he's getting a surprising amount of support from again the usual suspects, the corporate GOP, and of course the Democrats, because everything that Donald Trump does is wrong, according to them. But boy, I don't know. The whole independence idea of the Fed is ridiculous too. Where how can that work? In a constitutional republic, how can an arm of the government, let's face it, the Fed is an arm of the government, be independent of the other three arms? How does that work? The judiciary can't oversee them, the administration can't, and Congress can't. So to whom do they answer? They answer to the American people? Well, but they don't, clearly. So the idea of independence from all three branches of the government is a ridiculous one. And the more the Fed reacts or politicizes its actions, the more disgusting the idea of independence is.
Well, they certainly weren't independent when, I mean, it must have been them, I guess, under the Biden junta when they pumped trillions of dollars into our economy and devalued our currency with quantitative easing one through two, three, however many times they did that. I mean, that was under the aegis or the orders of Obama and Biden. And then it's
and they cut interest rates during a period of high inflation.
exactly just to sort of save their bacon during election seasons if they could. But now, of course, with Donald Trump, no, they won't do that. I mean, and it's just they're completely politicized. They're monkeying with our economy, and when they make someone like a Ron Paul look rational when he always used to go on about audit the Fed, you know something? He wasn't wrong. As kooky and crazy as Ron Paul is and was, he wasn't wrong about it. And there's too much power in that organization over, and it's politicized power that it just ruins the lives of 300, 400 odd million American citizens. Something, and someone has to, there has to be some sort of oversight, or there has to be some fundamental change in our economic system where the politics is somehow, if at all possible, which is probably impossible, put out of it, or pulled out of it. I don't know how that happens.
I don't know how that happens either, but I agree. And I think going after the Fed for this disgusting boondoggle of a building is a good idea. I think it will show the American people that they're pissing away money just like every other branch of government, and they need some sort of oversight. Again, the interest rates, that's pure politics, and Trump, he can hammer them all he wants, but nobody cares. Nobody cares about that kind of stuff. But the building, I think, is a way to break the that or degrade the image of the wonderful Fed.
As it should be. It's a politicized thing like every other, sadly, most every other, if not every other, bureaucracy and part of government. It just is. And why not let the people can see it for themselves? And on top of the $1 billion swindle from to Somalia and every other, I mean, that's a whole other thing. My God. It's just and then Americans, then all of a sudden the Democrats and whoever have this gall to talk about affordability. And I'm going, oh my Lord.
That's lovely. Bessent, the Secretary of the Treasury, just came out with a comment which I thought was wonderful, and that is 10% of the federal budget is fraud or waste.
Oh my God.
That's a huge amount of money. That's an unbelievable amount of money.
Well, as the great who was it? William Fulbright would once quipped, "A billion here, a billion there. Sooner or later, you're talking about some real money." Oh my
So
God!
let's stay domestic. There's been a push against these private equity groups and large real estate groups that are buying up, supposedly buying up large quantities of housing in the United States, probably multifamily and single family housing. And how that is a affront to American democracy, and there ought to be a law. Now, I guess BlackRock is is one of the worst offenders, but I'm curious why. I mean, how does that affect the American people? If some private equity group goes into a town and buys up 100 houses, well, obviously they're in the business to make money. So what can they do? Well, they can raise rents, but they're the supply of housing is essentially infinite, so they can't raise it infinitely. They'll never rent them. They can keep them off the market. But then how do they make money on the large investment that they made in these 100 homes? So the idea that they're buying up large quantities of American real estate and it's simply not renting is interesting, but I don't think it makes much sense.
Unless there is a political motivation behind it, and here comes my tinfoil hat coming on, to deprive because home ownership is a central pillar of the American dream, is to own your home and its freedom. And when you don't own your home, when you have to rent, and when somebody else owns it, and when the cost of one is too expensive, you're forced into places where the government wants to put you, so to speak. Is that being conspiratorial? I don't know, but we already have knuckleheads like Mamdani and his insane Marxist Maoist underling, the Sia, whatever the hell her name is, who wants to basically confiscate private property from basically from everybody, but especially white people, because for white people to own, home ownership is white supremacy, in her words. And so, lest we forget, all this wokeism is not just a few knuckleheads in government, but it creeps into the boardrooms of places like BlackRock. And BlackRock, among others, were involved in ESG, which is the environmental global warming nonsense. And so it's on the one hand, CBD, you're right. Who cares if they buy up housing? It's they're free to buy up housing, as many houses as they want. But then again, what do they do with them? Is there sitting on, I mean, how does it affect the freedom of the average person and the average homeowner down the road? I don't necessarily trust their motivations. I mean, yes, people are in it for profit, but then again, look at Hollywood. If Hollywood were in it for profit, they wouldn't produce all these horrible woke movies about global warming, about feminism, about transsexualism, and so on and so on and so on. And they're money losers, and Hollywood has lost billions of dollars over the years, and yet they still keep doing it.
Yeah, I
I
don't know.
don't know.
You still there?
I'm still here.
Oh, good. Yeah, I just don't see them sitting on vast quantities of real estate and not renting. That's a huge, huge drain on their bottom line, and it just doesn't make any sense to me. Now, we can talk about the Fed not decreasing interest rates and how that affects the American people, and that is absolutely the case. Mortgages are north of 6% right now, which is, maybe historically normal, but certainly over the last 25 years, it isn't normal. And that means that people who could afford a home 5 years ago can't afford one today. And that's a problem. You're 100% correct. And that I think is the real issue. But what Donald Trump can do to make housing more affordable is that's a tough one. Can he get Congress to pass a law that BlackRock can't buy more than X number of homes per year? Wow, that's a tough one. Can he
That's
regulate
ridiculous.
them out of business? No. I simply don't see an easy answer other than the Fed decreasing interest rates.
Yeah.
We should probably get somebody who's more attuned to this sort of stuff on, and we can talk about it in the next couple of weeks. But
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
again, it's like, what are we going to, I mean, it's like the old saw. We have to destroy the Constitution to preserve the Constitution. We have to destroy private enterprise to preserve private enterprise and freedom. Yeah, look, I'm no cheerleader for BlackRock for a host of reasons, as I pointed out earlier. But at the end of the day, if they want to buy up 100 houses in Podunk, Iowa, what's the problem with that? I don't see necessarily a problem with it,
Yeah.
unless, of course, then you have, knuckleheads like Bass and Newsom who, allow wildfires to destroy entire neighborhoods. So they can come in, scoop it up, and turn it into Section 8 housing for illegal aliens.
That
But,
sounds great. You know,
it's.
the problem in California is not the wildfires. Yes, those fires have destroyed thousands of homes over the last 5 or 10 years, and that's absolutely an issue, obviously, for the people who are affected. But the number of homes that were not built in California because of absolutely insane overregulation of the house of the home building industry is the real crime. Trying to build a multifamily housing project in California probably takes you five plus years, and that's simply too long. And that's one of the reasons why California housing is ridiculously overpriced. But that's a pure political issue. They can change that tomorrow, but they don't want to.
Nope, they do not
They
want to. And
want people renting in the inner cities, dependent on government, so that
exactly.
Governor Newsom can come out with a harebrained but I guess politically palatable fix, which won't work.
Right now
How
they
is he
have the
how is he going
so.
to justify all of this in 2027 when he goes on the stump for the 2028 presidential nomination?
I don't know. I'm sure there'll be plenty of political cover for him if he
Yeah.
does indeed become the nominee, which My gut tells me no, but he seems to be the flavor of the month so far. I mean, I
Yeah,
thought
well, who
he
is going to be the nominee then?
I don't know. I just thought that they would be wanting someone who was non-white, non-heterosexual, and non-male. I mean, they want basically Kamala Harris, but not Kamala Harris
Yeah.
or somebody. I mean, I can't see Newsom's too. He's to everything that the bean counters hate. But there you go.
Yeah.
And
So
now he's got
enough.
a billionaire's tax coming up, which is
Oh, that's going to
ridiculous.
be a real winner in California.
And if you think it's going to be limited to billionaires within a few years, let me tell you, if you earn anywhere near six figures, it's going to hit you hard.
So another thing that Donald Trump is talking about is limiting the interest on credit cards for some, I think it was 1 year or 5 years. I don't remember what the number is. And the banks are obviously up in arms because it's a stupendously bad idea. Credit cards are unsecured credit, and that's why the credit that that's why the interest rates are so high. You buy a house and you pay 6% because there's a house that's backing the mortgage. But if you run up a few thousand dollars or a few tens of thousands of dollars on your credit card, there's nothing behind that debt. And that's why the interest rates are high. Are they ridiculously high? Yeah. I mean, it's they push past 20%. I pay off my credit card every month, so I don't have this problem. I think that it's insanity that people run their lives off their credit cards. But that's a financial decision that they make. But they also have to understand that it's unsecured debt and they're going to pay through the nose and there's no way around it. And if Donald Trump gets his way and they decrease the credit card interest to 10%, well, the banks are just going to stop issuing credit cards. They're going to start canceling credit cards. So all of the people who actually do need credit cards aren't going to be able to get them. People
Yeah.
like me who don't need a credit card, it's just a convenience. They'll give me my credit card, but somebody who, occasionally has to run a balance is not going to get one. And that's going to hurt commerce. It's going to hurt the American people. And I don't see the win-win here for Donald Trump.
I think to hell with what do you call it? To hell with student loans. I think you should give everybody who owes over $30,000 in credit card debt, you should excuse the debt right there. There you go. Thank you. I can see the hate mail coming now, or not, or love mail. I don't know.
Well, it's essentially the same thing.
Exactly.
A student loan is an unsecured debt, but it's guaranteed by the U.S. government. That's why they don't charge 20 or 30% interest. Well, actually, it's government now anyway, so we're screwed no matter what.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay.
Anyway, so what else is going on in this lovely world of ours?
Let's see. We wrote down. We've talked to economics here abroad. Here we've talked the Iranian situation. What else is happening? Everything else is pretty. We've the ice situation here, the ice storm, so to speak. You talk about terrorism, you talk about revolutions, and we have the left foaming at the mouth to basically, have a revolution here. And ICE is ICE doing its job by arresting illegal aliens, and a lot of them really hardcore criminals, not just border jumpers, and of course the Somalian grifters and so on. It is amazing to me how they just rush to their defense, and this sick woman who got herself killed by playing stupid games because she was brainwashed into believing that ICE agents were akin to the Einsatzgruppen, and she tried running one over and she got ventilated for her troubles. And I think the agent who did it should be given some sort of award for valor for
Yeah,
and
I think that's inflammatory, and I don't think it's necessary, although I do understand your point. But the idea that these people can act without consequence needs to change.
And
That
they're being
idea needs
trained, they're
to
being
be
funded,
debunked.
and they're being They're being funded and they are being trained by all sorts of left-wing organizations with billions of dollars, whether it's Soros or whoever. And literally, there was a story out of Pittsburgh where some Pittsburgh government office was training these disruptors in quote unquote civil disobedience. My ass, more like interfering with with police officers and ICE agents, and they're literally teaching them how to become cannon fodder. And that has to somehow be quashed.
I've written about this often, and most recently I think on actually yesterday, but we in the United States we have a very very clear path to disagreement with government. You know, we can vote, we can write letters to the editor, we can protest, we can agitate politically, we can do many many things. But as soon as they start crossing the line into violence, and as you say, blocking, you know, driving your car in front of an ICE agent's vehicle is violence. Is it shooting at them? No, but but it's a continuum, and they have crossed that line, and it has become so comfortable for them that they don't realize that what they are doing is extraordinarily dangerous.
Well, they've
And
already thrown Molotov cocktails at police stations back
yeah.
in 2020, at ICE vehicles. They've already attacked them violently with weapons to hand or actual weapons, I don't know if guns or anything, but
Yeah, they
certainly
did. They
bricks.
shot at the that ICE building in, where was it, Dallas? And killed a couple
Yeah,
of
somewhere out west.
detainees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
No,
I
no,
mean,
no.
come
This
on now.
is
That is, you know, you are now, you have not only crossed a line, you have frickin' burned a bridge.
Yeah. And so, and again, I'm not a big fan of American policing. I think that it's broken. I think that the idea that they are not of the people is a very, very bad one. But I am now going to be reflexively supportive of American policing, in particular ICE, because of the insane overreaction on the part of the left. And, you know, I was in support of strict controls over how ICE behaved. I don't believe that these people have the same rights as American citizens, but they should be governed by a certain set of rules and guidelines. The left has made me so reflexively supportive that I don't give a shit what ICE does right now. I simply don't care, because they are at war with the hard left in the United States. Maybe not the hard left, maybe the soft left.
Yeah, it is. I mean, again, between everything, between all, I mean, and again, you talk about peacefully protesting. Look what we did on January 6th of 2021. That was a peaceful protest, which Nancy Pelosi and her goons in the FBI and elsewhere turned into a quote unquote insurrection. That was a whole sh that was a that was for that was an op. And I nothing you, anyone can say can convince me otherwise. And poor Roseanne Boyland and Ashley Babbitt were the victims of it.
Yes.
So, you know, and but yeah, they can, again, as Ace once quipped, and very, you know, their violence is speech, but our speech is violence. So, you know, it's yeah, anything that happens to them, it's, you know, they brought it on themselves. If this woman did what she did, she brought it on herself, and she has no one but herself to blame, to becoming a dupe and cannon fodder for tyrants and thugs who want to destroy our country.
Who are comfortably ensconced in their offices, far from
Absolutely.
the tussle on the streets.
Absolutely.
Very
They don't
convenient.
care.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah. Anyway, so I think we're about talked out. Folks, thank you very, very much for listening to us. Thank you for hitting the tip jar. It's very generous, and I hope you continue. We hope you continue. And we will talk to you next week. Sefton, take it away.
Indeed, CBD. Thank you, my friend. And, you know, freedom for the Persian people, freedom for the Venezuelan people. We stand with you. We're not necessarily going to put our boots on the ground for you, but we certainly stand shoulder to shoulder And for all of us freedom fighters here at home, and I don't mean the left, let's destroy the left where and how we can. Peacefully, by persuasion, and if need be, by defensive means, by whatever means we have to. Because this is, the revolution is at home, my friends, the one they started whenever they started it, and we have to stop the left. And that's pretty much it. And for all of you out there, thank you for supporting us with your wonderful generosity in hitting the tip jar, and also for commenting and for coming to our websites and being there and being here listening to the podcast. And indeed, we will see you again from around the world, across the nation, and right up your street with all the links and stories that matter. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening, folks.